I've got something that's just burning in my spirit this morning, and I'm starting a new series called Dress to Kill. Everybody say Dress to Kill. You know, some people say, well, Pastor, that's violent. You know, we're supposed to feel good, and, you know, we're supposed to. So, yeah, no, what we're talking about here is spiritual warfare. And so this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 3, we'll go through verse 5. Let's pray before we get started. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you so much for the power of your Holy Spirit. It enables us to overcome. It enables us to speak to that mountain, to be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Your Holy Spirit empowers us to not just stand there and take it and to be overcome, but to overcome the enemy with your word and by the power of your spirit, because it's not by my might nor by my power, but by your spirit, says the Lord. And so I thank you that I no longer have to wrestle in my own strength. I thank you, Father, that I don't always have to know how to figure it out, but your spirit goes before me. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to overcome and to be conquerors in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, I ask that you would anoint me to speak and preach your word boldly and with authority. And God, I pray that your anointing would fall on each and every ear, each and every spirit, God, so that we can receive your word and it would bring life to our bodies and our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to talk to you guys this morning about what biblical spiritual warfare is all about. There's a lot of things that are going out into churches nowadays, and you know, there's a lot of different misconceptions about what spiritual warfare is all about and what it isn't, and you know, there's people are very distracted by shiny things. Amen. Distracted by shiny things, by sparkly things, by the abnorm, right? And so you have people running over here to this screaming conference, and you got people over here running to this screaming conference and to this one and that one and the other and all these different things. But what is real biblical spiritual warfare all about? 1 Corinthians 10, let's look at it, starting with verse 3. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Everybody say demolish strongholds.
Demolish strongholds.
You know what? When you're just demolishing something, you don't go out there with a little bitty hammer and just... Have you guys ever seen these home improvement shows? Or those houses where you flip the houses and then sell them? They go in there with these sledgehammers, right? And they go in there to wreak havoc. The only reason why you have a sledgehammer, is to wreak havoc on something, right? You don't go in there with the smallest little hammer you can find and try to do some damage. You go in there with the biggest hammer that you possibly can find. And Paul is saying to the Corinthians here, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ Jesus. Now, I know you expect me to give the devil what for this morning, okay? I know you expect me to make the devil the centerpiece of spiritual warfare, but that is just not the case. Spiritual warfare, a lot of times, deals with the issues that are going on right here. Everybody pour it to your brain, right here. It's about what's going on between these two eyeballs and these two ears, all right? Spiritual warfare is about the enemy attacking the way you view yourself and the way that you view your relationship with Christ. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about open doors. Everybody say open doors.
Open doors.
You know, in your house, there's always somebody responsible for having a door open, right? If I go into my house, doors are swung wide open. I know it's probably not me. I know it's probably might be Dana. Most of the times, it's the boys, all right? Whenever I was growing up, you ever heard your mom say, "Shut the doors, you're letting the flies in." You ever heard that before? Or your dad say, "Shut the door, what am I doing, cooling off the whole neighborhood?" You guys ever had dad say that? Of course. And so when there's an open door, there's always someone at fault for that open door. And so that's why we can't blame it on the enemy every single time something happens to us in our life. Amen? Because we have got to take stock in our life. If there's an onslaught from the enemy, we've got to understand and we've got to sit down and recognize why this is happening in our life. Sometimes we don't ask ourselves questions. Sometimes we don't want to know the truth, right? We just want to blame it on the devil and have someone to blame. But the thing that we have to understand is that some of the times it's us because we leave the door open to the enemy in our life. Now, the devil may attack our mind and he may attempt to energize our flesh against us, all right? But if we will keep our minds and our flesh under control by the Holy Spirit, we can avoid a lot of unnecessary warring with the devil. Can I get a witness this morning? See, demon spirits have no power to bring about destruction unless they can find an open door in our life. And when they find that open door, they will exploit it to the fullest. Now, thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so that he could empower us to walk this thing out called Christianity. He brings conviction in our lives before the devil can build a stronghold in our minds and in our home and in our spirit, before he can take up residence within inside of us. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that helps us to combat against those things. Amen. But see, the problem with us is that we like to hold on to things. We like to hold on to it for a while. We like to put it down for a little while. We like to go back to it, pick it up. It's just stuff we like to do. It's stuff that we do. We don't think about it. It's not a conscious decision. It's just something that subconsciously we do. There was a monk, and I've shared this story with a couple of you here this morning, but there was this monk who was breaking in a new recruit. A new recruit, he was so enthusiastic about everything. "Okay, tell me what to do. What do you want me to do?" And the monk said, "I want you to take these two pieces of trash, these two bags of trash, and I want you to take it to that mountain over there. And when you get to the top of the mountain, I want you to take both of those trash bags, and I want you to fling them down the mountain as far as you can." So he's like, "All right, great." So he goes over to the trash, he picks them up, he throws them over his shoulder, and off he goes up the mountain. He goes up the mountain, he takes the trash, and he flings it off. He runs back down to where the monk is, and he said, "I did it." He said, "Take those two same trash bags full of trash, take it back up the mountain, and fling it as hard as you can back down the mountain." He's like, okay. So he takes the trash bags, goes back up the mountain. He does this 5 and 6 times. And the last time he's on his knees, he's crawling back. He's sweaty. He's tired. He's exhausted from carrying around all of this stuff. Finally, he stands up and he says, "This is mine. If he asks me to do this one more time, I'm quitting." And the monk said, "I want you to take the trash bags and I want you to go back up the mountain and I want you to fling them off as hard as you can." And the recruit says, "No, I've had enough. I refuse to take these trash bags back up the hill any longer." He put his head down because he raised his voice and he thought, "Well, I'm done." And the monk said, "Good. I'm glad that you refused to do that." And he said, "Until you refuse to continue to carry around the trash in your life, you'll always go back and pick it up." You see, in our life, there's got to be a time where we refuse any longer to carry around that weight that would so easily beset us from running the race. Amen? So many of us, whenever we get ready to run a race or whenever we get born again and we're excited about the things of Christ, we sometimes because of out of ignorance or whatever it may be. How many of you guys ever seen these weighted ankle things? Put them on your ankles. Maybe that was in the 80s. You put them on your ankles. They got sand in them. You put a backpack on. They've got sand and weights in it. You do it to, you know. But if you're running a long distance in a race, that's probably not a good idea, correct? But for some of us, we put those things on. We put weights on ourselves without even knowing it. And before we know it, we're captivated again by the things of this world. That's why the Bible says that we are not to be entangled with the things of this world any longer. That we are not to put on the things of this world any longer. And so what happens is when we ignore the Holy Spirit in our life is this. If we allow sin to be willfully permitted and unchecked, if we have a wrong attitude, if we constantly allow things in our life that should not be there and leave unconfessed sin unchanged and unchecked, the answer to all of this is this. We leave a large gaping hole that the enemy can run through in our life. We leave a chasm that the enemy can run through and have run roughshod over our lives. Amen? Now the truth is, most spiritual destruction is totally avoidable. But only if we listen to the pleading of the Holy Spirit and obey His warnings to us. Remember, demon spirits cannot destroy any one of us unless we allow an open door in our life. That's why we are supposed to take stock in every single thing that we do in our life. If we feel that there's something off in our walk with Christ, if we feel that something's not in balance in our home, it's like I talked about a month ago. If there's something wrong and you know it, you discern it, don't just deal with it. Don't just live with it. Don't just tolerate it. Overcome it through the blood of Christ, amen? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we detect those things in our life that are wrong, we detect those things in our life that are off balance, we don't just kind of live with it. We overcome it. Amen? Because the Bible gives us a clear way that we are supposed to overcome the enemy. And we're going to go through that in the weeks to come, talking about putting on the armor of God. How many of you guys ever heard about putting on the armor of God? We're going to go through what all of that means. So, when we get permission through our disobedience, we tend to shift blame sometimes, don't we? You guys remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve were given explicit instructions on what not to do. There was only one thing, really, they were not supposed to do. Now, Adam and Eve were in a perfect place, perfect environment, and they visited God every single afternoon in the flesh. They got to talk with Him. They got to see Him. They got to walk with Him. Everything about their world was perfect. And here, God gave Adam and Eve one thing not to do, and that was not to partake of the tree of knowledge. And so we see in the story that Eve took a bite of the apple. Now I'm paraphrasing and putting it into a nutshell. But what happens is she gave the apple to her husband to eat, and he did eat, the Bible says. And then all of a sudden God shows up to walk with them in the cool of the day again. And Adam, or the guy came down and he said, "Adam, where you at?" He knew where he was at. He knew where he was at. And here God said, "What have you done?" And this is what Adam said. Adam said this: "God, the woman that you put here with me, she gave me this fruit, and she caused me to eat it." He shifted blame. How many of you guys ever shifted blame before? I've never done it, but we tend to shift blame so it takes the attention off of our sin, right? We tend to shift blame. And so regardless of how many demon spirits have been assigned to destroy us, you must cooperate with the enemy in some way in order for that open door to be open for the enemy to come into your life. You've got to operate, you've got to said yes somewhere down the road in your life to allow the enemy to come in. Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy cannot come into your life unless you give him permission to come into your life. Amen? And the way you give him permission is by opening doors to him. And what doors am I talking about? I'm talking about unconfessed sin. I'm talking about anger issues. I'm talking about outright blatant sin that you've left unchecked in your life. Those are open doors for the enemy to come in and destroy your life. The mind is a huge, huge battlefield for the enemy. Because what happens is when we begin to start thinking about things and we begin to believe, we start to believe what the enemy is throwing our way. And before you know it, we've lost all joy, we've lost hope, we've lost compassion, we've lost the whole nine yards because we've allowed the enemy to come into our life. Now, I'm not saying that there's no surprise attack from the enemy, okay? I know that happens. But we can't scream, God, the devil's attacking my finances when we don't balance our checkbook. When we don't pay our bills on time. When we go out to eat instead of paying our bills. Amen? When we go to the movies, when we should be tithing. When we do this and we should be paying this bill. Or we should be doing this or that or the other. We can't scream, the devil's attacking me. You're attacking yourself. Amen? We can't say that the enemy's attacking my marriage when you both talk harshly to one another, when you don't pray together, when you don't spend time together. My wife and I went out on a date the other night. Go out on a date sometimes. Amen? Spend some time with one another. Don't say the enemy's attacking your marriage when you're not doing what you need to do to maintain a healthy marriage. Amen? But I know that the devil does attack, and I know that he does come in like a flood. For instance, we have some friends up north and got a call, when was it, Tuesday? Something like that. Our friends have a son who's 15 years old. His name is Tyler. And we were up there a week ago and we were bowling, and Tyler told Christian that he was having these really bad headaches. And so we left, didn't think much about it, and then Tuesday we get a phone call that Tyler, a 15-year-old, had a stroke. A massive stroke. These people are believers. These people serve Christ faithfully. They love God with all their heart, but yet this happens to them in their life. Now, you can either do two things in these situations. You can blame God and ask why, or you can call upon the name of the Lord, who is our ever-present help in our time of need. Amen. And that's exactly what we did. We started praying. They sent out emails. They sent out texts. And all of a sudden we started bombarding heaven with our prayers. Not out of fear, not out of any of those things. But we attacked the thing through faith and not fear. We didn't get stuck in going, well, why God? Why did you let this happen? But we hit this thing head on with prayer and with faith. And what happened was, he's regaining mobility. His left side was totally affected. A 15-year-old kid. And this happens. You don't ever hardly hear this happening, but yet this happened to him. And so we're attacking this thing by faith, and not by fear, not by doubt or anything else, but by faith. Amen? And that's what we need to do as well. So many times we come before God in complete fear. Hey, it's okay to be afraid, but pray. Amen? Pray. We don't have to have all the answers when we pray. That's why we have to have faith. That's why without faith it's impossible to please God. Amen? The Bible said that we could have fear, but we have to rise above that fear. Amen? Now these attacks usually come at a critical point in our lives. Sometimes it's whenever we're praying so hard for something, we're really believing God for this or believing God for that, and all of a sudden these attacks just start coming our way. Has that ever happened to anybody? You start believing God for this, or maybe it's about your future. Maybe it's about a spouse. Maybe it's about where you're supposed to move. Maybe it's about an illness. Maybe it's about whatever in your life, your finances or whatever. And all of a sudden, there's an onslaught of attack upon your life. Jesus knew about these attacks. Everybody turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, this is Jesus, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Then the disciples woke up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. It was completely calm. Now notice it says a furious squall came up. Let's concentrate on that, on those two words, came up. Something ever just came up in your life before? Just out of the blue, out of left field? Something happened in your life, like what happened with Tyler and his body, just a 15-year-old, just out of the blue, something just came up physically in his life. So many times things come up in our lives and we forget that there's a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle for our very souls, and we allow that thing to keep happening in our life, in our family, until we come to the realization and we have an aha moment that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that our weapons are not carnal. They're not of this world, but they're mighty in pulling down and demolishing strongholds in our life. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So by his word, they were going to the other side. That's what caused Jesus to rest in the midst of the storm down on that cushion. Now, let me say this. Let's not forget that a lot of the disciples were fishermen before they were disciples. So they were skilled in sailing. And so they knew that before they set sail that it was going to be a smooth sail. So they thought. But all of a sudden, something came up. Something happened. Something out of the norm happened. And the Bible says that Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and he rebuked the waves. And he took authority over those things. Now, the devil knew that Jesus, if he made it to the other side, was about to do one of the most amazing miracles of his entire ministry. And when he got to the other side, what happened was is he was met by a demon-possessed man in a graveyard, tied to a headstone. How'd you like to be greeted like that when you get off a boat? You know, you go through this storm, you think you're going to die, and the disciples are a little weak-kneed when they get off the boat, and Jesus is, he was fresh, he was rested because he knew that the storm was going to pass, and he took care of that. And then he gets to the other side, and he's met by a demon-possessed man that had been bound so many times that he had chains hanging from his wrist, he had cut himself hundreds of times, he howled at the moon, nobody wanted to be around him, this guy was insane. Look to your neighbor and say, he was insane. He was completely insane. Don't call each other insane. He was insane. This guy was out of his mind. And Jesus had just performed this miracle about stopping the wind and the waves, and everything was quiet. And all of a sudden, he's met with this obstacle here, this demon-possessed man. Jesus didn't run and get back on the boat and have the disciples take care of it. No, he met that problem head on. He met that problem head on. See, the devil knows that there is a war for your destiny, for your purpose. And if the enemy can doubt your purpose, if the enemy can rob your joy, if the enemy can rob your passion and bring confusion to your life, then he's won. And every time that we're pressing into God and we're asking God, God, I want more of you. I want a clear direction. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to go in the ministry or teach. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this or that. Lord, what am I supposed to do? You can rest assured that the enemy will try to come in like a flood into your life. If this happens, do as Jesus did and take care of it and deal with it head on. Look, believers don't go looking for a fight, okay? We don't do that. But when a fight comes to us through no fault of our own, we deal with it. Not by my might, nor by my spirit, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. This battle is for our very life. It's for our joy. It's for our peace. It's for our home. It's for our safety. It's for our marriage. It's for our children. We're in a fight, church. Amen? And when we feel like it's the darkest time in our life, don't give up. Press in. Press in. Keep fighting. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep praying. Keep interceding. Keep calling upon the name of the Lord, because He hears your prayers. Amen? He hears your prayers. Don't give up, because just around the corner is your miracle. Just around your corner, God will reveal to you His plan for your life. Don't give up. We must mentally and spiritually prepare ourselves to deal with demonic attacks. Amen? We are to put on the whole armor of God and to take authority over the wind and the waves and come against our lives, our families, our businesses, our body. Just as Jesus took authority over the winds and the waves, we are to take authority over those things in our life. Amen? We are not to stand there and just take it. We are not to shout into the wind, "Give me some more." We're not to do that. But we are to speak to that wind. We are to speak to those waves, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." We're not using our own understanding, our own strength, or all that stuff, but we are operating under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So what do we do when we come under attack? First, we must make sure we have been diligent to cover all the bases by obeying the Holy Spirit's prompting in the various areas of our lives. All right? Then make sure we haven't left any open doors left over to the enemy. Make sure that we take stock in ourselves. Make sure that we say, "God, is there anything, any wicked thing inside of me that's causing these things?" And when we do that, we begin to shut those doors. When we repent of our slothfulness or maybe our lacks in praying or our lacks in Bible reading or our lacks of being in the presence of God, then after repentance, then we shut the door, amen? In obedience, we shut the door. We shut the door to the onslaught of the enemy in our lives. Now, lastly, notice that when Jesus said to the wind and the waves, He spoke to those things. He spoke to them, "Peace, be still." Notice in Mark, it says that there was a great calm on the waters. There's a great calm on the waters. You see, when everything is said and done, Jesus matches a great storm with a great calm in our lives. He is our only peace. He is our only steadfast calm in our life. It's Him in Him alone. Amen? Because it's not by our might, not by our spirit, not by our own understanding, our own wisdom. How about our own stubbornness, our own strength, our own ingenuity? No, it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. By His Spirit, we are able to overcome the enemy. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning. Second Corinthians 10:3 says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not of this world. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Did you hear what the word says? He says, we take every thought into captivity. And make it obedient to Christ. Every thought. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, I thank You so much that You called us to a higher way of living. And in order to achieve that, Father, in order to run to that, in order to operate in it, in order to overcome, Father, we've got to understand that it's not by our might. It's not by our own understanding. It's not by our own fierceness, but it's by Your Spirit, says the Lord. And this morning, if you're going through an attack, if you're going through something in your life where you say, "Pastor, I need some help. I need some prayer in these areas of my life," I just want you to raise your hand so I can see them. Okay? Raise them up high so I can see them. Okay? All right? Hallelujah. My word for you this morning is everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. Is that it's by His Spirit. Not by our wisdom, not by our understanding, but by His Spirit. Stop your striving, stop your fighting in your own strength. But overcome the enemy by the Lord's Spirit. Because He has given us weapons of warfare that are not of this world, but they're mighty in pulling down and demolishing strongholds. And so this morning, if there's things that you've been dealing with and you need extra prayer, you're in the fight, you're fighting, you're praying, you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, but yet you need that support, that little extra support in prayer and agreement this morning, I want you to come forward. We're going to pray over you this morning. Don't think about it. Just come on down. Don't think about it. You'll talk yourself out of it. Just come on down. You're battling something. You're battling it. You're fighting. You're in the fight. You're praying. You're believing. But you need agreement with your brothers and sisters this morning. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Get some help praying this morning. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Sarah, can you help pray this morning? Linda, could you help pray this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe here's somebody here this morning that says, "Pastor, I've never heard that before. And but there's something that I need, and I'm not even a believer. I'm not even saved. You say this morning, Pastor, I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior this morning. I want to yield to Him. I want to make Him the Lord of my life. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I lift up to you each and every person that came forward that are, Lord, they're struggling. They're in the fight and they need extra support from their brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would begin to, Lord, you would begin to be their strength in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you would overcome the enemy for us, Lord, that you would speak that peace to be still, that you would speak to the wind and the rain in our life to be still, and it will be done in Jesus' name. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the anointing of God that breaks the yoke in our life. And this morning, I join with my brothers and sisters, and I call them to be loosed in Jesus' name. God, that they would have the victory in their lives. I pray, Father, that there's an area of their life where they're continually failing at, that they're having to start all over again. I pray in Jesus' name that you would begin to, Father, be their strength and cause them to overcome, releasing those trash bags to never pick them up again in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being their strength and for causing them to overcome and bringing victory in their life. I thank you, Jesus, that you have called us, Lord, more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. You told us, Father, that if we had faith as small as a mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, to be thou removed, be cast into the sea. Lord, I pray, Father, that if there's some that are just absolutely running this morning from issues, maybe it's issues in their family and they're tired of running and they've gotten revelation that enough is enough, I pray that they would stand in the face of that storm and say, enough is enough in the name of Jesus. I repent of my sins. I repent of my absenteeism. I repent of my lax ways, and I refuse any longer to take a back seat, and I choose today to be that leader, God, that you've caused me to be. In the name of Jesus. Psalms 116 says this, and we'll dismiss with this. It says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Amen. The Lord has been good to you. I thank you, Father, that you are no respecter of persons. I thank you, Father, that whenever I call upon your name, you run to my rescue. You don't sit idle. You don't think about it, but you run. You run to my rescue. And I thank you so much, Lord, that your love and patience toward me overflows my life and overwhelms me. I thank you, God, that you did not leave us defenseless, but you gave us tools that we can use to overcome the enemy, to overcome every obstacle, to speak to the wind and the rain, to be still. And I know, God, and I recognize that in the heat of the battle, in the heat of the battle, to not give up, but to call upon your name, and there you will run to me. And I know that through that, Father, that I'll have breakthrough in my life. I know that through that, Father, I'll have peace in my life. I know that through that, Father, I will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so, Lord, I will no longer run from the fight. I'll no longer run from the enemy. I'll no longer run to the way I used to be. I'll no longer run and revert to the things that I used to do. Those familiar things, Lord, I cast them down and refuse to ever pick them up again. I refuse to ever pick them up again. Father, I love you so much. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that you restore us completely. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Isn't He good? He cares for us. Look at your neighbor and say, He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for you. That's the God we serve. Amen. Let's all stand up this morning. Listen to me. Over the course of this series, what I want you to learn is this. You do not have to cope with the enemy. Amen. You don't have to just cope with them and deal with it and just think, oh, it's just going to be this way. No, we have power as a believer to be overcomers in this life. Amen. These are the things I want you to learn, and I'm going to give you the tools over these next several weeks to combat the enemy. You guys ready? Amen. Listen, God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. Listen, don't forget these things. Sign up in the back, okay? Let's make this a great time, a great harvest festival. God bless you guys. See y'all Sunday.